That is the Black and White Rag by George Botsford.
You knew what this was?
Is that what it is?
No.
Well, it's Dill Pickles by...
Yep, there you go.
Yeah, it's by... Dill Pickles Rag is by a woman, Mae Ofterheide.
Charles L. Johnson.
Close enough.
Oh, okay.
The song is called Dill Pickles?
Dill Pickles Rag. Yeah, it has that same 3/4 rhythm that you find in the Black and White Rag and a bunch of other things. 12th Street Rag.
Dill Pickles.
Dill Pickles, a big
hit.
How
old is that song?
1906, I want to say.
1906?
I'm guessing. Might be 1908.
Back then, when a song like that would come out,
yeah,
would people say, there's a new song out,
yeah,
called Dill Pickles, and it slaps?
I don't know, but they, you know, they back would. Then, you had to make your own music at home. And so you'd go buy the sheet music and learn the piece. And that's a fairly simple piece to play, as ragtime pieces go. But yeah, there's a whole lot. I got those two titles confused because they're very similar constructed rags.
Can you play that one?
Oh, sure. I mean, I haven't, but never really fancied. Johnson was kind of he cranked out a lot of music. And he actually arranged one of Scott Joplin's pieces and got it published.
Where's that Joplin house?
It's on Del Mar between Jefferson and Leffingwell.
That's okay. All right. That's what I figured. I knew it was in that area.
Mm-hmm.
John Hancock is in for Amy Marks Kors. I'm Chris Ranji. We're glad you're with us today on this Memorial Day, hanging out with us. Hopefully you are enjoying your day. We discussed that earlier, that some people seem to take offense whenever you say Happy Memorial Day or, you know, just, that you can enjoy your day today.
People live their lives out there.
See, I agree with you. This texter to 314-436-7900 says, I don't like when people say Happy Good Friday. I could be wrong, but I thought Michael Kelly said it this year. But then he questioned himself. Did he?
I don't know.
I don't think I've ever heard Happy Good Friday.
I don't know that I've ever heard that either.
And another message of somebody watching on YouTube said, had friends that could not go outside on Good Friday in the afternoon, as that was the time Jesus was killed.
Yeah, I usually go to religious service on Good Friday.
Yeah.
It's a very somber thing. I mean, that was,
I don't know that I've ever heard anybody say, hey, happy Good Friday.
Yeah, no, I don't think I have.
Not really heard that before. All right, so I told you, John,
yes,
that we were going, I'm going to read you a couple of messages.
All right.
These are Memorial Day messages. Okay.
All right.
And I want you to guess. Okay. One of them is from the president.
Yes.
One of them is from the first lady.
All right.
All right. So here is the first one. As we remember our heroes, let us not only mourn their loss, but also celebrate their bravery. Each life lost serves as a poignant reminder of the price paid for our rights and the values we hold dear. So that's the first one.
All right.
And then I'll go ahead and read you the second one. Okay. And you can tell me. Happy Memorial Day to all, including the scum that spent the last 4 years trying to destroy our country through warped radical left minds, who allowed 21 million people to illegally... By the way, it's 21 million spelled out in numbers, and then also the word million. So it's 21 million people to illegally enter our country, many of them being criminals and the mentally insane, through an open border that only an incompetent president would approve, and through judges who are on a mission to keep murderers, drug dealers, rapists, gang members, and released prisoners from all over the world in our country so they can rob, murder, and rape again. All protected by these USA-hating judges who suffer from an ideology that is sick and very dangerous for our country. Hopefully, the United States Supreme Court and other good and compassionate judges throughout the land will save us from the decisions of the monsters who want our country to go to hell. But fear not. We have made great progress over the last 4 months, and America will soon be safe and great again. Again, happy Memorial Day, and God bless America. So which one of these is from the president? Which is from the first lady?
I'm going to go out on a limb here. I'm gonna think the latter was penned by President Donald J. Trump.
You're correct.
And the that former was penned by whoever is writing the tweets for First Lady Melania Trump.
Well, whoever wrote it. The first one was a nice sentiment. So here's my deal. I know people love this guy, and that's fine. You can love President Trump all you want.
Yep.
You're free to do that. But dude, why can't you just say, you know, we remember those who lost their lives in service to the country. Just leave it at that. Does it have to be a whole list of grievances, all these people that you don't like?
Well, that's what he does. That's what he does on holidays. That's part of his, you know.
It's
entertaining.
Nuts.
He's got an entertaining manner about him.
Yes, he really does.
And this is, you know, part and parcel of it.
It's insane behavior. This is insane behavior. I'm sorry. It's nuts that this is what you're doing on Memorial Day.
Well, it's atypical from what we had come to expect from the president of the United States.
It's pretty awesome. So today the Cardinals, they play in Baltimore.
They do.
Now, John, did you know the last time I was at Camden Yards was just over 10 years ago?
All right.
So do you know what happened on April 29th of 2015, why the White Sox-Orioles game was noteworthy?
No hitter?
No. So April 29th, 2015. Drew, do you have a guess? What happened that was at the time highly unusual?
No guess.
Unassisted triple play.
No. It has since happened again. It was the game in which the Sox and Orioles played in front of a crowd of zero.
Whoa.
There was no attendance at the game. People were not allowed in the building. Do you remember why?
Oh, that because there was a terrorist threat or something?
No, it was the Freddie Gray riots.
Oh,
if you remember that, yes. So in Baltimore, the riot, and we got there on Sunday night. I was traveling with the team at this particular road trip.
Uh-huh.
I was calling the game. So we got in on Sunday night, and apparently the riots had sort of started on Saturday, and there was an issue outside the ballpark. It wasn't a riot at the time. It was a demonstration, and people who were marching in the demonstration got into it with some Orioles fans who were at a bar hanging outside on the patio, and then this brawl erupted. So that happened on Saturday. Nothing happened on Sunday. We got into town Sunday night. Uh-huh. On Monday, so it was a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday series. On Monday, we were getting ready to play the game, show up at the ballpark. I got there like 2:30, I think. And on the TV, in a neighborhood about a mile away, some stuff started going down. And they were covering it live. And then it got worse. And then it got worse. And it's 6 o'clock, 6:30, and they say, we are not going to play tonight. Games canceled. So they sent everybody home. They put us on lockdown in the hotel. They wouldn't let us out. It happened again the following day, so they canceled the second game. They decided to play the third game on that Wednesday. They played it at like 3 o'clock in the afternoon or 4 o'clock. It was supposed to be
this
a 7.
Now that you mention it. Yeah.
And so they just played it with a crowd of nobody.
Yeah.
There were zero people in the stands. And of course that's happened since because of COVID. But this was a.
So did you call the game?
Yes.
That day. Yeah. So you're up in the press box.
It was quiet.
It
was so quiet. It was really eerie.
Could you hear the players talking?
Oh yeah, you could hear because you could hear them walk up the steps, and you could hear them on the gravel, on the warning track, walk into the plate. Wow. You could hear their spikes hit the dirt. It was that I did not like that. That was just. That was not fun at all. And here's another funny side note about it.
Yeah.
The Orioles hate the Washington Nationals, or at least ownership at the time did. They despised the Nationals because the Washington Nationals, when they came on the scene, they were taking away market share.
Of course.
Because the Orioles had
cities right there.
Yeah, 45 minutes apart. I think the ballparks take about 45 minutes to get from one to the other. The Nationals offered to Baltimore, they said, hey, come play your games here. They refused to even entertain the idea. The Orioles wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
Because they despise. They wouldn't even take them up on this unusual moment in time. They wouldn't even use their ballpark because they hate the Nationals that much.
So when the Orioles moved to Baltimore in 54, the Washington Senators were still there, right? They were still, that franchise was still going because I think they moved. They became the Minnesota Twins, ultimately, I think, in the mid-60s.
That sounds right.
Yeah. So this is not the first time you've had two teams in those two cities that close together. But It would be interesting on the fan base. Although, you know, New York's got two teams. Chicago's got two teams. So we used to have two teams.
But when you're the only team in town for a long time, you don't want another one showing up.
No, that's right. I think that's right.
So I understand the animosity. But just in a time like that, you would think, okay, this is unusual. It's a serious situation. Yeah, okay, we'll come play in your ballpark. Thank you for the offer. So you know what they did instead? They ended up making up those two games. And I think they did it in Chicago, if I remember right. But I know they had a series against the Rays, and they just punted on having home games. They gave up their home games to play in Florida.
Right.
So they lost the gate money.
Mm. So 10 years ago, the Orioles would have been pretty bad.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they weren't good then.
No.
They beat the Sox, though.
Well.
And here's another thing. That game lasted 2 hours and 3 minutes.
Hmm. Interesting.
That's a very quick game for that time.
Yeah.
Because they didn't do all the stuff.
Right.
And just a wild time.
That's a Bob Gibson-esque starting time or game time.
Yeah, it is.
He used to, man, he would pitch a game, 2-1, complete game, and you'd be out of there in 1 hour and 45 minutes.
Do you know who else is famous for that? It's a St. Louisan, also on the White Sox. Mark Burley.
Oh, Burley, yeah.
Mark Burley was famous for getting the ball and throwing it. And every time he would pitch, it would just be the best.
A very good pitcher. Very underrated pitcher.
Yes.
I think.
Yes.
I think he won 200 games. You could make a case for Mark Burley in the Hall of Fame. He's not going to get there, probably. But
no,
you could make
he
a
won't.
Case.
No, but really, just love the guy. Great attitude. Huge fan favorite. They loved him in Chicago.
Yeah.
Loved him.
Where did he finish up his career? Toronto someplace?
He did go to Toronto, and he was upset with, was it the Jays or Canada? I can't remember, but he had pit bulls.
Yeah.
And he was promised that it would be okay to bring his dogs with him.
Yeah.
Because in Canada, I guess they have anti-pit bull laws, or they did at the time, and he wasn't allowed to bring them, and he was upset about that. Because he was promised he could.
Well, if they tell you to bring your dog, you ought to be able to bring your dog.
I agree with you.
Huh. Liberals. Telling you what kind of dog you can have?
Well, yeah, they can be dangerous. Well, they're not inherently dangerous, though.
A cat can be dangerous, too.
That's right.
Claws you in the eye.
Did you know that cats, according to research, they say cats want to murder you. They're just not big enough to do it.
Well, yeah. And I believe it.
That if they were the size of tigers, they would maul you to death.
Oh,
they would kill
no
you.
Question about it. Yeah. The cats don't want to be there. Wherever there is, the cat doesn't want to be there.
I never understood getting a pet that runs away and hides and you never see it. In that case, just get a goldfish.
My dog, I mean, he won't leave you alone. You know, he'll come up, he goes down to the office and lays there. And he went down and farted the other day. That was terrible.
While you were working?
Yes. I'm on a conference call and I'm, wow. That's some tough stuff, man. Wow.
Dog farts are not good.
They're not good.
Sometimes dogs are a little too needy, though. I love dogs, but they will. Does he just, wherever you go, does he tail you?
Oh, yeah. And generally, when he's not, you know, pumping out the gas, it's, you know, he's quite delightful. And when you come home, he'll bring a shoe to you. He'll pick up a random shoe on the floor and bring it over.
Yeah.
A great dog.
Also, we are doing Monday Regrets today. It is a Monday, even though it's Memorial Day. We still bring you Monday Regrets. So anything that happened over the last week or the weekend or something that has been on your mind for a while, tell us what your regret is. We're gonna do that at 11:30 today. So Monday Regrets happens today. You can text in 314-436-7900. You can, if you want to, leave us a voice message on the Odyssey app. There's a little button that says send a message and record it and send it our way.
We'd love to hear from you.
We would love to hear from you. Also, don't forget to donate KMOX.com/Red Cross. All the money stays here in the St. Louis area. 104.1 FM KMOX. John, do you know who this is?
Somebody taking guitar lessons.
Dude. Do you really not know who this is?
No.
All right, let this play for a second.
Joe Bonamassa?
No, it's not Joe Bonamassa. Really? You don't know this song?
Uh-uh.
Oh, John Hancock.
Disappointed in you, John?
This is unbelievable.
Who is it? What is it?
This is Jimi Hendrix.
Oh! This isn't Purple Haze.
No, it is not Purple Haze.
All right, well, if it's not Purple Haze, I don't know it. What is it? What's it called?
Voodoo Child.
Oh. I'm not acquainted with Voodoo Child.
You had not heard Voodoo
Child? I did know about the Dill Pickles Rag, however.
You did. So it was the Dill Pickles Rag, and then what did you say? It was Pickles and Peppers?
Pickles and Peppers is what I got confused. That was written by May Ofterheide. It's a lovely little piece, Pickles and Peppers.
Okay, so you are 50 what?
61.
You're 61.
My heavens. How did that happen?
So what year were you born?
64.
All right. So you should have been like a kid when Jimi Hendrix was a thing?
Well, I was at 4 years old. You know, I'm not listening to Jimi Hendrix at 4 years old, I can assure you that.
No, well, I'm stunned.
I knew the theme song to the Flintstones at four. I remember watching the Cardinals World Series when I was four against the Detroit Tigers. We had the Curtis Mathis television set in the house. Won a console, had a record player in it, radio, television in the middle, pretty fancy. And laying on the floor watching Bob Gibson and Mickey Lolich duke it out.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you remember that?
I do.
I was just watching Back to the Future the other day, and it's the scene where he ends up in his mom's house. You know, he's gone back to the future,
right?
Or he's gone back to the past,
right?
And they ask him, do you have a TV, Marty? He's like, well, you know, we have two of them. He's like, you have two TVs? You must be rich.
Yeah.
This is the 50s,
right?
Oh man, it's so easy to have multiple TVs. They cost nothing these days.
Yeah, they're giving them away out there.
They really are giving them away.
They're thin. You know, I like the old thick televisions.
Why?
You know, well, you got the tube in there. You know.
So inconvenient.
I don't know. You used to have to get up and twist the channel to change the channel.
There were only three channels.
No, we had five. Channel 2, 4, 5, 11, and if you had the round aerial, you could get channel 30. ADNL. Yeah.
You ever have to do the UHF switch?
Oh, yeah.
Wasn't channel 30 on that?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Channel 30 was on the UHF, and you had the round antenna that went on the back of the television there, and you could watch that. And if the clouds were low enough, sometimes we could get the St. Louis football Cardinal game on Sunday when it wasn't sold out and it was blacked out in St. Louis. And
oh,
we could pick up the station out of Quincy and see a granular, snow-filled screen of the football Cardinals playing that particular day.
People growing up today don't know how good they have it.
No, they don't.
Because when I was a kid, home games were not on TV. Cardinals, baseball Cardinals games.
Right.
Were not on.
No, rarely.
You could, if I remember, you could pay for it, and it might have only been certain games, but I remember it used to be sort of a pay-per-view thing.
Yeah, they had.
Like in the 80s.
Yeah, I mean, Channel 5 used to have the games, 11 had the games, and they'd have a package for the season. It'd be
right.
24 games or something.
Yeah, it wasn't all of them.
That you could see. And it's a whole new world now. Except they put that game the other night on Apple Plus. Aggravating.
You couldn't figure it out?
No.
You just don't want to pay for it.
I've got Apple Plus, but I don't know the password. It's so frustrating.
John.
So you go through all your password, you know, because I've got a basic structure of a password. And that's my regret. I can't remember my password.
Well, why don't you get a new password?
I got to do something.
There's a thing you click, it says, forgot your password?
Yeah,
click this button.
The problem is when I bought the service, I used an email address that I no longer have.
Oh, my God, dude.
So it's a whole thing.
So you're paying for Apple Plus.
I think I am, Chris.
I don't know. You have to be.
Who knows? I don't know. I found out we had two Amazon accounts. My wife and I both had her. I mean, it's so ridiculous. Oh, I hate this stuff. I mean, I don't like it at all.
There's too much streaming.
It's too much. I mean, you got, and then everything's got its own password. I mean, what's the matter with people?
Too many passwords.
There? Way too many. That's didn't have passwords back. I remember the 4-digit PIN number was a big thing back when I was younger.
What about the, did you see the story about the guy who was threatened and beaten for his crypto password?
No.
Yeah. And it was done by an investor. Like an investor threatened him and beat him up to get his crypto password. He was tortured for weeks for a Bitcoin password.
Wow. Yeah, that'll teach you not to get into all that stuff.
This happened in New York.
Mm-hmm. Of course it did.
Oh, man. That's John Hancock. I'm Chris Ranji. What are your Monday regrets? Tell us what they are. You can text us at 314-436-7900. Something you regret over the past week or weekend or, you know, you've had something on your mind for a long time. Want to get it off your chest. Monday regrets next on 104.1 FM KMOX.
Let's not say anything we're going to regret.
I regret it.
All of us will come to regret this.
I'm serious. You won't regret it. Get over here right now.
Do you have regrets from the past week? We want to hear them. It's Monday Regrets with Chris and Amy.
I got John Hancock today.
Yep.
Amy's out. She's on her 15th vacation.
I regret that Amy's out again.
Yeah. Here's my regret that I did not ask for the Amy Marks Corps vacation package. Because this lady, she's been out 400 days of the year so far.
It's just impressive. It's impressive.
Well, how many days into the year are we now? Like 150 or something?
Something like that.
Yeah.
147.
This lady has been out for so long. I need to do better at negotiating. So I regret not doing a better job of getting more vacation days. Not that I don't want to be here, because I love being here.
Oh, there's no place you'd rather be.
But I also love doing nothing sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes.
Right?
Yeah. I regret not knowing the password to the Apple Plus account. The Cardinals had the game on Apple Plus. It's ridiculous.
I regret just not getting cable.
Ooh. Cable's expensive, though.
Yeah. Well, so all the streaming services.
Well, now that's an excellent point, Raj.
If you have Netflix and Disney with Hulu and ESPN, and you've got HBO Max or just Max now or Paramount Plus, you have all of these.
That's a lot.
Dude, it's too much.
It is too much.
Mary has a regret. She's from St. Louis, and she's with us now. Hello, Mary.
Hello, Mary.
Hi. I regret that in his youth, no one taught President Trump that if you can't say something nice about someone, don't say anything at all.
All right, Mary.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair.
That's what my mother used to always say.
You can't say something nice, say nothing. But then again, if that were the case, that I would be out of a job.
Yeah, my father never spoke. I'm kidding. No, my parents actually had a great marriage, and I never saw them fight, ever. Growing up, never.
Interesting.
Never witnessed them fight. And then suddenly, Dad got hearing aids, and they fought all the time.
That's not good.
That's not good.
This text message says, I regret having to hear the president's Memorial Day message. Okay, listen, I understand that, but this is a your regret. This is something you've done wrong or something that you wish you had done better.
Yeah, your regrets should not be about us because there's really nothing we can do to fix it at this point.
About you and me?
Yeah, you get what you get here.
I think you're screwed.
Yeah.
I regret not putting money on the Cardinals to win the division at the beginning of the year when the odds were better. Like the good betting odds would have been a good price.
You could probably still get some pretty decent odds on winning the division, I would think. Not as good as the beginning of the year, that's for sure.
This text says, no regrets to send. Just wanted to say the president's Memorial Day message deserves much more coverage. Perhaps it will be covered more later today. Here's the thing about the messages on holidays or like, the 9/11 message of happy 9/11 to, or we remember 9/11, especially all the haters and losers.
Right.
That one.
Yep.
Okay. It's that there are so many of them.
Yeah. It's
that it becomes like backdrop. It's almost like you just like they don't even happen. You know, it's noise.
Plug and play.
It's not great.
No, it's it is what it is. And I will say that an awful lot of people like that about Donald Trump.
Which I don't
count myself among them, but a lot of people do.
If you're strictly an entertainer, like let's say he wasn't the president of the United States.
Right.
And he was just an entertainer. I get it. Because it is funny.
Yeah.
Like, he's genuinely funny. I don't know that he's funny on purpose, but he is a genuinely funny person. That would be great. But you kind of have an important job. And you kind of shouldn't be this. Sorry. Like, to me personally, I feel like it's disqualifying because it's a character trait. And I think character matters. That's my personal opinion.
Character does matter. And, you know, on a serious note, I think a lot of Donald Trump's behavioral issues are rooted in what I think is a profound insecurity that is born out of.
Well, I'm sure there's,
and yeah, you know, the relationship with his father and it has manifested itself as he grew up and went through puberty into adulthood. A lot of this bluster and shtick is really masking a real sense of insecurity, and it's kind of sad.
John Hancock is in for Amy Marks Kors. I'm Chris Ranji. Don't forget that you can donate KMOX.com/Red Cross, and you'll be helping tornado victims. People are there's a long road to recovery.
Very long.
It will be very costly. We do know that the governor, Mike Kehoe, has assisted he has requested for this to be declared a disaster. So he is still waiting on federal disaster, that declaration in response. Mm-hmm. We just got a declaration approved from storms that happened in March and into April. Yep. Around the state of Missouri. So that's good. So we're moving forward on that, but we're still waiting for the president to, declare the federal disaster here, which will be, you know, funding and resources that we're going to need. St. Louis can't do it on its own. The state can't do it on its own. Going to need federal help here. So
yeah, I mean, so many of these folks that have lost their homes and everything had no insurance. So, I mean, that's devastating.
So when you have a mortgage, you have to have home insurance, right? Many of these houses have been passed down from generation to generation, so they have long been paid for.
Right.
So there is no mortgage on most of these homes, and a lot of them could not afford to have insurance. I was listening to, Fox. Fox 2 had talked to somebody, this woman who had lost her home, and this was on Friday. And first of all, John, I am stunned, and I don't know how people in the face of all of that can have a positive attitude. Mm-hmm. I just don't know that I would be good enough to have that. And this woman was just like, there are people worse off than me. And she's right, but she just lost her home.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. That's as bad as it gets. And she said, we wanted to get insurance and it was on the list, but there were so many things ahead of the insurance that they had to pay for.
Right.
You know, she said to make the house livable, that they had to put money into that. So they couldn't afford insurance and they were trying to get to that point. And that's sad.
Very sad.
It's really, really sad.
Yeah, very sad. And you think about, you know, when your house is leveled or destroyed, all of the memories associated with it and the photographs and, on and on and on that you lose, too. It's tragedy on top of tragedy for so many people.
And if you've got generations of family who lived in the same place.
Right.
It's really sad. So they're going to need the help. And this money that we've raised is a lot, and a lot of other people are raising money too. Every single dime is going to be needed.
Yep. And every dime that you give at KMOX.com/Red Cross will stay right here in this community.
Yeah. That here in St. Louis and right across the river to Granite City and into Edwardsville. So it's a joint effort there. You, John, have some thoughts on the reconciliation bill.
Yeah.
Because the House has been working on this. They're in approval. The Senate may not be on board with it.
Yeah. There's no way it's going to pass the Senate in the form it's in now, which means if it does pass the Senate, it's going to be changed. And here's the challenging part for Republicans. They got a three, seat majority. Four, if you count the vice president. So, you know, what's going to be challenging here is you've got opposition on both sides of this, both sides of this issue. So you've got the deficit hawk Republicans who are saying we can't pass this because it raises, it adds $3.5 trillion to the annual deficit, which is a lot. And then you got the folks on the other end where Josh Hawley is saying you can't slash Medicaid funding like this. So you've got opposition coming from two different sources. And so to get something to pass, you're going to have to mollify, I would think, both sides of that equation, which means you have to reduce the Medicaid cuts. When you do that, of course, you increase the deficit that you're putting on the bill. So they, how they're going to work through this, I don't know. I do know that John Thune, the Senate Majority Leader, is very talented. He's not as good as Mitch McConnell was in his heyday, but he's very good. And I think he will try and put something together here. I don't think there's a scintilla of a hope that there'll be one Democrat that votes for this thing. So they're going to have to modify it. And then it has to go back to the House where it passed by one vote and to try and get it done. Meanwhile, this is the president's domestic agenda for probably the 4 years. It's got everything in there. And so, you know, they will be anxious to get something passed. And now you're going into a midterm election where I think the number is 20 Republican seats are up and only 13 Democratic Senate seats are up. And it's going to be a challenge for Republicans to hold the majority in the Senate. And I think it's almost a certainty that they lose the majority in the House. So this is the window. These 2 years, 25 and 26, and really 25 because next year is an election year, this is the window for them to do something, and I'm going to be fascinated to see how they resolve these conflicts. But you've seen Rand Paul speaking against it. You've seen Hawley speaking against it. Ron Johnson of Wisconsin speaking against it. Some of the more vulnerable senators that are up, I'm thinking about Susan Collins in Maine. Lisa Murkowski is always a challenge to get on these things. How they're going to get 50 votes together is going to be fascinating.
It doesn't sit well with me to cut funding for programs that help people. Like we were just talking about people on the north side, right, who don't have much and they just lost their homes. We're talking about how sad this is.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, if we cut, and those are some, many of those people are using Medicaid. And if you want to cut $700 billion from that program, most definitely some people who don't deserve to lose it are going to lose it. And this isn't about making it more efficient. They're trying to cut money so that they can give tax breaks to people who are already wealthy. And there are all sorts of estimations out there, but I've seen estimates that say the wealthiest among us will get something per year, like an extra $300,000 to $400,000 in tax breaks. That I'm not okay with that if that means people are losing health coverage who don't have means as it is. I'm not okay with that.
I don't think they're putting additional tax cuts on. They're just extending and making permanent the tax cuts, the tax policy that they passed in
2017. But this is how they're paying for it, right? They're going to cut Medicaid
for it because they're driving the deficit up.
There's that.
Yeah, and Medicaid, you know, is a program that is mostly funded by the federal government, but it's funded through the states. And so they grant the states this money. The states then match in it, and I think it's like 10% match that the state puts in. So it's almost exclusively a federal government program.
Yeah.
And so when you cut the amount of money you send to the states, then the only alternative the states have is to come up with the money themselves somewhere. Most states have a balanced budget requirement. And or to exclude people from the program. They put work requirements in the package that passed the House, and but a work requirement is not gonna, that's not gonna account for all of the reduction that the feds are, you know, funding in this program.
Right. So I don't know how this is going to work. I think it's going to be really hard for people who are already, if it goes through as written, it'll be a matter of time, but people who already don't have much are probably going to lose a little, and that's too bad. It really is. Of all the people who need the help, and they need more than what they're getting now, and they stand to lose here.
I think there is a zero chance that the bill in its current form is going to pass.
Good.
Zero.
Good. Hopefully whatever they come up with is better and better for people who need it. That's John Hancock. I'm Chris Ranji. Don't forget, you can still donate KMOX.com/Red Cross. We continue to raise money in the tornado relief effort. We are over $228,000 right now, and we thank you for all of your contributions. You can contribute as low as 10 bucks. If you want to get 10 bucks, it's all you can do. Do it, because those folks are going to need it. So KMOX.com/Red Cross. The money stays right here in the St. Louis area. It's Chris and Amy show on 104.1 FM KMOX. John Hancock, Chris Ranji on 104.1 FM KMOX. Hope you're having a nice day today. It is okay to have a good day on Memorial Day.
Yes, it is.
You can remember those who've lost their lives in action, but also it's okay. It's part of the reason that we have holidays like this, is not only to remember, but to enjoy them, and that's the whole point.
It is.
So it's okay.
Yep. Enjoy family and take some time and reflect on the millions who've given their lives for this country.
It
wouldn't be millions, but it would be thousands.
Thousands.
Tens and tens and tens of thousands.
What are you going to do the rest of the day?
I've got a meeting at 1 o'clock, and then probably fire up the grill. Something simple. Burgers and dogs, probably.
You're not going to schumer them, are you?
No. This is going to be genuine beef.
Make sure they're fully cooked.
Yes.
Then you put the cheese on top.
That's the way you do it. That's the way you do it. Now, are you a bun toaster guy on the grill?
Of course.
Oh, I don't. I don't like my buns toasted.
You don't?
Nope.
Huh.
Too crunchy.
Don't like the crunch.
Well, and then the crumbs go everywhere.
I'll tell you what I don't like. Yeah. I love lettuce and I love tomatoes.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like anything on a burger in terms of other stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, like mustard's good, ketchup's good, whatever.
Yeah.
Doesn't have to have it, but it can. Onions.
Yes.
And that's pretty much it.
Little pickle,
onions,
little lettuce,
cheese.
Little pickles.
I can do pickles, too.
Yeah,
I think
lettuce.
When you start putting the tomato and the lettuce, just
thick.
A little too much.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a little too much.
Well, lettuce doesn't cost you anything. You can make them too thick, though. You know what I mean?
That's exactly right.
Right. Then nobody likes that.
Nah,
you a smash burger guy?
Love them.
I do, too.
I like the Oklahoma style. Is pretty much what I'm talking about.
Which is?
So that's the cheese.
Yeah.
And the onions.
Yeah.
The fried onions.
Oh, fried onions.
Yeah. And it's all kind of smashed together.
Yeah.
Love that. Oklahoma style. Let's go.
Huh.
What do you think, Drew? Are you into it?
I'm into it.
Okay.
Love a smash.
Now, are you a thick sliced onion guy or a thin sliced onion guy?
Doesn't matter.
Oh, well, if you fry them, you just dump them on. They're all loose.
Yeah, I can get down with that.
Oh, okay. I got you. I had some onions on my hot dog at the ball game last week. I had never done that before.
Not bad. You ever had a Chicago style?
Probably.
Oh, well, you probably haven't. The way you're talking about hot dogs,
yeah.
So it's mustard, relish, okay.
Oh, and yeah,
tomatoes,
ooh,
onions,
yeah,
sport peppers. You know what a sport pepper is,
yeah.
and a pickle, a long pickle.
That's too much going on there.
It's, man, I it's so good.
You know the best dog in St. Louis,
Woofies.
Yes, have you eaten at Woofies?
I have not.
You
got
to go to Woofies.
Everybody talks about Woofies.
Yep, you got to go to Woofies.
Is Woofies open today?
It's in Overland. I don't know. It's not far from the Q and the Cushion, which is one of the great old pool halls in St. Louis.
Can you play snooker there?
Yes.
You can.
Yes, you can. They've got one table.
Wow. Is it ever occupied?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's hard to get.
How big of a deal is snooker in St. Louis?
Well, I think it's catching on, you know. We've been talking about it here on the Voice of St. Louis. But most of the guys that play are international in nature. Like, I play with a guy. We've all got nicknames. You know, Michael's the Irish Assassin.
Who are you?
The American Rocket.
American Rocket?
Yeah. And then we play with a guy that I call the Ukrainian Thunder. And then Kotesh is the Lion of India that we play with.
Does Ronnie O'Sullivan have a nickname?
The Rocket.
He's the Rocket.
He's the Rocket.
Oh, so you're the American
Rocket.
Yes,
that's the way I figured that out.
if Ranji played, what would his nickname be, do you think?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Chris Ricochet Ranji.
Ricochet.
Yes.
Ooh. Yes. I kind of like Ricochet.
Yeah, Ricochet Ranji.
That's not bad.
Thank you.
Well,
that's anyway. What I do.
Hey, you know the Gas House Gang is coming up.
12 o'clock. You got John Rooney is coming in.
Yeah, well, not for the whole thing. He'll be on at 12:30, but Tom Ackerman and me, we're going to hang out. We'll talk some Birds baseball. Best. Birds keep winning.
Ackerman's the best. You're the best.
Hey, thanks, man. I think you're the best.
Well, do what I can.
Do we like Michael Kelly?
We do like Michael Kelly.
We love Michael Kelly.
Yeah, we do.
I met somebody that knows Michael pretty well.
How about that?
Met her yesterday.
There she
nice
was.
Lady. Yeah. What a nice lady. Mm. Okay. Wouldn't stop talking about Michael. Wouldn't shut up about Michael. And her boyfriend was right there. That's John Hancock. We'll see you on Wednesday, bub.
Yep, I'll be back.
I got Brad Young with me tomorrow, but John will be back on Wednesday. Thank you for listening. Anything you missed on the Odyssey app, go back and get it, boys and girls. You're going to love it. The Gas House Gang is coming up next on 104.1 FM KMOX.